or maybe they would set themselves up also as gods. And so Buddha set himself up as gods, and he set himself up over the Negro people. And the Negro people, which had come to earth under the Luciferian fall, were swept into the control of Lucifer and Beelzebub. And Beelzebub was going to exalt himself as God. Buddha was going to be his prophet. And in the coming and going of the fallen angelic host that had been sent here by Michael, and God said to Michael, "Now stay, we're not going to destroy Lucifer. We're going to, at this time, we're going to conquer him here in the earth. You shall not destroy." But into this instance, we discover that Lucifer comes back out of the patterns of Asia, where the strange and peculiar policies of idolatry had been set, where he had established himself truly as the dragon god of Asia. And so we note that in this hour, he sends Luki, who was one of the great messenger archangels, with his fleets to find out why Budas and Beelzebub had not come to join him. And when he arrived in Africa, he discovered that among the peoples of Africa and among the youths which had fallen with him in that race war and in that war of heavens, Budas had declared himself God. And he had called his religion Voodooism, and the Negroes were embracing Voodooism, and they were worshipping devils, and they were worshipping Voodoos. And of course, the struggle that immediately took place as Luki joined himself to Lucifer was the consignment of Beelzebub to the inner earth. Now these patterns, you will discover, made Beelzebub, king of the inner earth, subservient now to Lucifer, who acknowledges in his defeat that he never should have rebelled against Lucifer, because Lucifer was the most powerful god. And so Beelzebub was consigned as the prince of hell to the nether world. Budas was allowed to remain in the inner world and the outer world until, in the catastrophes of war, in the struggles that swept the earth, God bound up some of the fallen angels within the heart of the earth because they did not leave off their evil and their wickedness. And he put watchers over the entrances to the inner earth, and they were watchers that were to hold in the powers of darkness and the breeding of the satanic sons. There were people also that were miniature in size and in number. They were referred to as Giro, and they were consigned to the inner earth, populations that existed there. Some may say, "You do mean the earth is inhabited on the inside?" Well, the earth has a lot of habitations in it, because Jesus said he went down into the inner earth and he preached to people that were in the inner earth. In fact, we discover that when the scripture talks about the heavens above and the earth, and it talks about the inner earth as well. So there's no question about it. The day is going to come when the power of God is going to be triumphant, and men are going to acknowledge God before on the outside of the earth, and they're going to acknowledge him on the inside of the earth in the heavens above. Now the scripture tells us that the bottomless pit is in the netherworld, or the world wherein it is neither light nor dark. For ever since we find the resurrection of Christ transpiring, and even the darkness that the area that was known as paradise, which was within the center of the earth, was cut off forever from Lucifer, but hell was enlarged, or the habitations of Lucifer, when he released every one of his sons from Adam on down to his time and took them into glory. Now we want to point out to you that under this area, the Zambe are the sons and the daughters of the Negroes who worship Voodoos. And they were referred to as Zambe, though we find in Ecclesiastes that the Zambe are referred to as the dead, for it says we're dead when they die, they don't know anything at all. Now this is an exact statement, it's a correct statement as far as Ecclesiastes is concerned. The dead when they die don't know anything at all. This means that a Negro is dead, and he's just as dead as he can be when he hits the ground, when he's put away in the ground. He has no spirit that returns anywhere to a different origin, because he had lost the capacity of the spirit. He was totally a soul-conscious and soulish individual, and at best was thus rated in this way. So the Zambe, or the walking dead, they are referred to. I tell you that a person without spirit is a dead man even when he walks, as far as that's concerned. The best that can be hoped for the Negro is wanting to respond to the leadership of God's Israel, which he sent here to proclaim that Yahweh alone is God. To worship God, to trust God, to proclaim the truths of God. And under this hour, there was a resurrection that was prescribed for them ultimately and in the fullness of time. But as far as history and time was concerned, they were referred to as the Voodoos, so the dead when they die. Negroes may be all right when they go to church. You found that out in this country. As long as they were in their churches, and as long as their churches proclaimed the true and the living God, they could emotionally respond to this area of spiritual truth, but they lacked the spiritual qualifications that, if turned loose or out from under the control of white men, that would keep them in true form. For instance, even at this hour, as the Buddha's operations were spreading out among the Negroid peoples, and the Negroid peoples were being mongrelized, integrated among the peoples of Earth, and the areas of ancient Asian civilization, such as we had in India, and as we had in the Chinas, they sought to mongrelize Negroes with them. They were able successfully in India to mongrelize the Asiatics of India with the Negroids and produce the dark brown and black races of India. But at the same time, the areas were not successful in all things. The Chinamen themselves did not mongrelize very well, though there are among some in the Isles of the Sea and in the areas where now there are still some high tops left of Lemuria that fell for the Luciferian strategy. But we note here that in Africa was the final spot where the forces that fought back and forth in the war that had took place upon the earth during Lucifer's attempt to control and control the whole earth until God, with a catastrophe, sank Atlantis and sank Lemuria, sank them because they worshipped gods because they that were no gods. They mongrelized their seed and they sowed the area of catastrophe. And in that hour, as they fought for the control of the earth, they even used atomic warfare. And the atomic warfare is to be found in the last traces of it in the Isles of the Sea. In Easter Island, you can find radioactive isotopes such as you have as trinitite fused glass in the sands, which are still radioactive from the radioactive war that took place thousands of years ago. This was all before the Adamic race ever came to the earth. Well, when you came to the earth was in apostasy. It was in idolatry. It was totally incomplete in idolatry. And the Negroes in Africa were worshiping now Voodoos and their devil witch doctors, though Voodoos himself was now consigned to the inner world. We discover that the watchers are those that keep these angels that didn't keep their first estate tied up in the inner earth. You can extract areas of these mysteries as you search the scriptures. For angels that kept not their first estate and had left their own inhabitation were reserved in the everlasting chains under the darkness until the day of judgment of the great day. And the watchers are the ones that were placed over them, which were ministry spirits of God. And there are several areas or openings or entrances to the inner earth that watchers of the Most High God, with power to close the circle and the hole within, these demon powers kept these angels, some of which rebelled with Lucifer and were foremost of the areas of mongrelization in the inner earth. In fact, in the days when the flood descended on the Upper Canaan Basin, or that country, the word is Iraq, it wasn't all over the earth, but it was there, because these monsters also that had come out of Lucifer and the fallen angels, sowing the seed into members of the various races, and they even sought to take your race, the human race, and they sought to gather up all the women which they could, and they forced themselves upon these women, and they devoured all that resisted unto them. They were called Cain of Baal because they worshipped Lucifer Baal, and they were eaters also of human flesh. But these angels that had propagated the monsters and the giants that grew up, according to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, were also locked in the netherworld. Some of them, as they drowned, they were locked in the human in the inner earth, and the watchers were placed over them. In fact, so much is this so that we have reason to believe that Beelzebub is the prince of hell, which still remaining as prince of hell, has been locked up until the hour of the latter day. So has Voodoos been locked up until the time of the end of the age. So the devil goes to and fro upon the earth seeking who he may devour. Beelzebub was a prince of destruction. We note here that this Hebrew word Apollyon and Abaddon speaks of the word destruction. And we note also that out of the areas of witchcraft, that this is a significant thing. In 1 Peter, in the 5th chapter, he says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking who he may devour." And the word here is Abaddon again, which shows that he moves as the destroyer, and his princes rule as the destroyer. It says, "Therefore, know therefore, that ye resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren are in the world." In other words, this is a poor translation, for the same catastrophe, the same afflictions and sicknesses and diseases also come upon you that come upon the world order, and the devil is a master at witchcraft, and 50% to 60% of all the ailments in the world start in the brain. In fact, you'd be surprised how many people are just as sick as they can be, but it's in their heads, and Lucifer captures their mind and captures their heads and puts every concept and every conceivable idea in their minds until they're as sick as those that have been hit by virus. Of course, this isn't a popular thing to say because people wonder whether they're sick or not, see? And if that's as sick as you are, you're not so sick. But anyhow, he points this out, and there are people that are under this area of bondage, and there are people that become obsessed by demon powers and thought patterns of evil. Jesus cast demons out of a man when he came down in Gardens, and a man was filled with these evil demons. And as Christ cast them out, they cried out, "Thou Jesus of Nazareth, what are we to do with thee? Torment us not." And then they cried out, "Jesus, let us go into these swine." And so the swine not being any good for anything anyhow, Jesus let them go in the swine, and the swine all ran into the sea and drowned themselves so that the demons might get back to their own place. This is the scatter of the scripture, that they might get back to their own place. And that place of departed spirits is the same place that Judas hung himself to. He wanted to get back to his own place too. It's the dwelling place of the sons of Lucifer. It also is the end that Jews end up in for at least 612 years of their timing, because there's no new spirits given to satanic line. We point out to you, therefore, that in this hour, that there is a strange condition that is happening to the earth. It's just as strange as the hours that transpired when God sent his watching angels over them to hold these people on the inside of the earth. Also, as we note today, the cycles of return, or the hours of the satanic embodiment again coming out of the Luciferian kingdom, affect all the peoples of Asia that came under the control of Luciferianism. And they are no more Asiatics at any time than there ever was when Lucifer hit the earth, because there has been no new spirits provided for them, and they go through their hours and their cycles of return, and from 178 to 612 years, they make those cycles. But you and I are not the children of a reincarnation. We are the children of everlasting life, and we are the children of the embodiment of the household of the Most High God, and the white race is called the children of resurrection. Now, therefore, we are here to set the nations free, to break the powers of Lucifer, to overthrow the forces of darkness. But do not think for a moment that Lucifer is not speedily engaged also in the strange policies of gathering up his ancient people. We have today in the earth witnessed the long trek that has existed since the falls of Lucifer and since the establishment of the peoples that rebelled with him and he held and commanded down to this time. In fact, it's only been the last 200 years that you've seen any civilization come to Africa, but not one bit of it came out of Africa. It was brought to Africa because these people, with their soulish emotion, with their strange observance of the powers of darkness and Luciferianism, had nothing spiritual to draw on. This is why no vision has ever come out of the Negro race. This is why no civilization ever came out of it. This is why no culture ever came out of it. Now we know that these people, in their darkness and in their ignorance, were met by Stanley and Livingston, as they had been met earlier before by Greeks and by Romans and so forth. But always they were the peoples of the jungle. They were the peoples who worshipped Budas. They worshipped witch doctors. I want you to know that the witch doctor has only changed his style, but has not lost his efficacy. And I want you to realize tonight that you and I in the United States of America, as we're fighting Negro race war, are fighting witch doctors that answer to Beelzebub. Let me point out to you this, that as we have watched the rolling pattern of civilization come and go, these people never had any civilization. The ancient Assyrians, when they captured some of them in their battles, and they did not mongrelize with them, but they did capture some of them, and they did add them to their areas. They said that they finally decided that it was better to get rid of them, and they referred to them as Nubians, because they referred to them as listless people that never can do anything unless they're told. And when they stop doing what they're told to do, or when you've told them what to do and they get through with that, they don't do anything but sit down. They are not necessarily lazy, they just don't have any capacity to think thought, said the Assyrian. And it says these dark and curly-headed ones that came in with Tiamat, the chaos monster. So even in the antiquity of the Assyrian, they had the same testimony that you have in the book of Enoch, that the Negroes came in as warriors on the ships of Lucifer. Well, in the areas of Job tells you a story that's quite significant too. He says that these people, and he saw them out in the thorn bush, and they threw spears, and they threw rocks, and they threw stones at people when they came by the thorn bushes. He thought he might get them, and he could evangelize them, and he might do some good, and he might bring them into his home, and he might train them to work. So he went out, and he got himself a few slaves, too. And he brought these Negroes in, and he taught them about the truths of God and these patterns, and they were kind of a dumb people. And he said that he had them working in his fields, and because he had the power, and he had the riches, and he had the wealth to hold things in order. But he said, how about these people? Well, when Lucifer therefore smote him, and when catastrophe fell upon him, and when storms tore down his barns, and his cattle were being killed, and he was breaking out with boils, then these peoples, they yelled at Job, and they moved in to take Job's goods, and they wanted to prey upon him and steal his horses, and they wanted to destroy his stock, and they wanted to act like the savages they were. And Job said, these brute beasts are not good enough to lay down with my kitchen dog. This is in the book of Job. So he said, the Negro. and the zombie is not fit to lie down with my dogs. Well, we're not going to argue about Job because God admits him into the Word of God. We're going to cite that he knew what he was talking about because these people rose up against him when they thought the first adversity had come over this man, though this man had taken them out as savages from the thorn bush worshiping devils and had given them the first semblance of civilization and culture they had ever had. Well, under the pattern of the darkness, we are to discover that in this latter day, we're told that the watchers will be withdrawn, and the powers out of the bottomless pit will come, and it will move out over the earth. And one of the things it's going to do, it's going to gather together the Asiatics, it's going to gather together the Negroes that are in some form worshiping the powers of Lucifer and his satanic power. We think Buddhism is one of the chief measures of satanic worshiping, of idols of gold, of stone, and idols that have been embossed with jewels, but idols which represent, again, the pagan dogmas of the ancient past and the weird monstrosities that make up the demon gods of the temples of Asia. And let me tell you this, that the majority of priests inside the Buddhist temples further the causes of communism and always double-cross any area of Christian responsibility to put communism down. We want to point out to you as well that, though you may not understand this, that the majority of these Buddhist priests who are in the upper echelons of Buddhism are Jews. Or you say, well, how can they be Jews? They don't work, they don't keep the Old Testament, they don't believe in the Old Testament, because Jews don't have to keep the Old Testament. It's just a few Jews that keep the Old Testament that you have something to do with. The Zen Buddhists make up a whole area of Jewry today. In fact, Ben-Gurion was a Zen Buddhist. In fact, the Jews that are moving into Palestine today are overwhelmingly Asiatic, and even Look magazine says it's only going to be a matter of a few years, and Asiatic religions are going to predominate the Orthodox patterns of the religions of Europe, and the Jews are going to be Asiatic Jews that will be in control in Jerusalem. Well, what about the Asiatic Jews? Well, the Asiatic Jews are Buddhists. The Asiatic Jews teach the system of Brahma, Vishnu, Siva, and Kali in India. But they are altogether worshiping the doctrines of darkness and the idols and pagan powers, and they serve the causes of Lucifer. In fact, when Jewry decided that the pattern which they had in the earth would be best furthered by a socialist doctrine, they applied themselves to the overthrow of the Tsar, to the liquidation of his family. In fact, when they did this, they brought Jews from New York City with their instruments that were there to play as concert violinists in the areas of Russia. And they came to the very palace of the Tsar, and they came in with their instruments and opened them up, and they had Tommy guns, and they seized the Tsar, and they made him prisoner simultaneous as the Bolshevik Revolution broke on the outside, and Jewry ran the Bolshevik Revolution. Remember this now. They are the sons of Satan. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father he will do. And this people today, the sons of Lucifer, control the Bolshevik Revolution. Now they are the beast. They are a beast system. They are the beast children. And the peoples of the beast make up the beast, and they give power unto the hordes of the beast. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus talks about the seven heads and ten horns that are upon the great beast, the forces of Antichrist that fight the kingdom of God. And he told us the seven heads are seven kingdoms upon which the woman sitteth. And the eighth head comes out of the seventh, or the eighth kingdom. And in this eighth kingdom, he's talking about the hordes of Genghis Khan, which organized Jewry when Shoy Pei Noyan went out and gathered up out of the steppes of Asia as they went out again to their ancient peoples. And they gathered these hordes up to crush Christian civilization. And of course, when Genghis Khan was smitten with a heart attack and carried back to Lhasa, the waning power continued for centuries over Europe. But it was never the same until the hordes of world communism emerged as Jewry gave it life and vitality. They gave life to the Russian Revolution. They have murdered the Christians. They have put to death wherever they could any who took a stand for Christ, but they did not put to death the Buddhists. They didn't put to death the others as they put to death Christians. Well, this strange policy continues because there's a little battle going on, you know, that in the areas of the strategy of the various foreign services of state departments, and they're trying to tell you that Jews are a little bit angry at Soviet Russia today because they will not permit the full function of their religion in the Soviet Union, but we find that this is all propaganda because now we find that the Jews in Jerusalem are saying, now don't stress this, we're not actually going along with this. We want to make it appear now that everything's all right because we're getting along with Soviet Russia. So this last 2 weeks, the Jews didn't get in time, and here they were calling out against the Soviet Union, and the Palestinian Jews were tugging at their elbow and saying, no, everything's all right now. Because the fact remains that the masters of economy and the masters of production, the masters of the areas of Soviet society are still organized Jewry. But they were gathering the hordes of Africa and they're gathering the hordes of Asia. And in the hours that we have watched the socialist revolution take hold of these ancient peoples of China and these other patterns, we discovered that they came in with a savagery. It gathered a people that under the apostate policies of their pagan governments never had enough to eat. They never did have at any time. But as they came in and as they spread their doctrines and finance from the areas of the Soviet Union, some of the expanse, some of the Chinamen adapted themselves and they accepted the doctrines as they worshiped the devil. But you know, as the years went by, they found that they were rather successful at this, and so some of them rose above the others, as they always have, whether they were mandarins or whether they were merchantmen, and some of them became political commissars, and they became well in influence. And so in the cities of Beijing and out throughout the landscape of China, China was a socialist communist society, but there were millions of Chinamen that were doing pretty well because they mastered the take of all the other Chinamen, and so they had a little more wealth and they had a little more station, and they were buying cars and buying the things that came from the east and the west, and they were establishing now the continuity of a Chinese pattern of government. But I want you to know that somewhere out of the darkness again moves this latter day. And out of it moves the princes of darkness, and under Beelzebub and Abaddon, the princes of hell, there move out this demonic spirit. And it attacks the youth. And it moves in, therefore, on the youth, and it turns them into what's called the Red Guard. Now, we've watched for about 6 weeks as this Red Guard has run roughshod over the peoples of China. We have no particular sympathy for communists, whether they be mild communists or whether they be forceful communists. For all communists were against America. All communists were against the Christian nation. All communists talked to the day when they were going to march through and take a spoil. But even they had a status in their society, and they had these that were their educators and in their colleges and their schools, and they were faring better than the others and so forth. And the Red Guard comes out, and now it answers to the commander-in-chief of the new armies of China. And it, therefore, is gathering out the area of the commissar, and it's gathering out the red Chinese that were doing better, and now we're getting wealthy and having statuses of society above the others, and it's beating them, and it's torturing them, and it's putting them to death. And millions tonight are moving in the surge of a strange demon obsession that sweeps over their masses. They cry, down with America, down with the Western world, arise to arms, we're going to move by the millions. And so they march, and the commissars and those are crying out for intervention from their own government, because they said, all we've been doing is trying to make a success out of this. We fared better because we applied ourselves. And look, they said, they're even coming now after us. And right now, China is being converted into a savage, blood-red, mad, warlike society. And so the peoples are now being turned back again to this. And even some of the commissars have renounced the pattern of their more affluent living. And they're willing now to strip themselves down to the standard of savagery against the Western world and a total cry of communism with its program for the conquest of the world. And so tonight, Red China, though Mao is somewhat deified in their thinking, is being swept by the Red Guard. And it's a demonic power of strange darkness. And as they cry out, they are returning now to a pattern of total and absolute anti-Western world program. Inside of Africa, we have had a strange operation going on for some time. The powers of the prince of this world were to fasten on to his ancient people. We are to note that the witch doctors in Africa suddenly started to whip up the Negro again. Witch doctors, however, were taken very skillfully to the Soviet Union, and Secret Service proved that witch doctors who were in Africa were taken to the Soviet Union, and they were trained in certain areas of war-making policies by the Soviet Union. They were returned to Africa. They were told they were going to be elevated, they were going to be enriched, they were going to be backed by the Russian government. And the witch doctors returned to Africa and started in telling the savages again that if they served the witch doctor, they would have to destroy the white man. They'd have to destroy him with violence. They'd have to destroy him with suddenness. They would have to rise up to their native god. Under the areas of South Africa and Rhodesia and Chinya Colony and Tanganyika and all the various areas where the white man had gone into Africa, the natives that were there became somewhat semi-civilized. At least they learned in their mission stations to acknowledge the white god. They learned in their, as they gathered under the areas of white man's ingenuity, to operate his machines, to work in his mines, to work in his factories. They received, for the first time, paychecks. They were able to buy things, and they were given series of Robux catalogs, too, to hold their interest, you say. And these people were beginning to learn. Now the witch doctors were getting a little fat because they were extracting also their tithe out of the peoples. But suddenly the witch doctor rose up. One of the most important and deadly witch doctors in all of Africa is Kenyatta. Kenyatta, you know, is the head now of the Kenya colony. But when this time, as the British were suddenly facing the rise of the Mau Mau and the witch doctor, this man, a satanic witch doctor, one who practices witchcraft and practices it with satanic power, was Kenyatta. Kenyatta, you know, went to Oxford University. And when he went to Oxford University, he learned to speak English like an Englishman. But you know what he got his degree in? He got his degree for a textbook that's 2 inches thick on witchcraft. You can secure this volume today. It's published in the press. It is the volume on witchcraft, and it tells about how the powers of the devils which they worship are infinitely more powerful than the gods of the white man. How he can strike disease, and he can just strike sickness. He can send blessing. He can withdraw the areas of sickness, and how the Negroes are subject to the witch doctor. And he received his degree in Oxford University, mind you this now, for writing his volume on witchcraft. Kenyatta went out to start up the great Mau Mau rebellions, and he drove the savagery back into the foremost problems of the mind of his people. And so they killed white men, they liquidated them, they tortured them, they moved in with the most obscene patterns of living. And as they attacked and destroyed white men, white women, and Negroes that wouldn't succumb to the powers of witchcraft, the areas of the bottomless pit were in motion again in Africa. You know, they caught this man a couple of times, and then somehow somebody out of this new age of strange philosophy, instead of putting this man to death and to put his cut his body into four quarters and sticking it on the four posts of the first village they caught him in. Each time they'd hold him in jail, they were afraid to kill him because so many of the witch doctors and the Negroes would rise up. But the white man has always made his mistake when he withdraws or when he doesn't hold his line against the enemies of his God. This man is a devil and a devil-worshipping witch doctor, and he serves Lucifer alone. He's against every citadel of white government, and he works for the day when the black man shall rule the world. He should have been liquidated, drawn, and quartered for the massacre of white people throughout the years when he controlled the Mau Maus as its leader. But tonight he is the head of Kenya Colony. And he receives the peoples of empires, but he also warns them that Africa and the world is now open to the development of the Negro and Negro attainment. But if you read his book on witchcraft, you'll discover that they control the Negro, and at any time, the witch doctor can rise the Negro up into violence. We had in this country the areas of Negroes that were raised under the areas of white civilization. They seemed to respond. Their ministers, of course, thought it was quite well that they be made ministers in Methodist churches or Baptist churches because the congregations paid their salary and they rose above the mass of their congregation and they give lip service to this. But a strange thing, the witch doctors started to come into the United States about 1928 to 1930. Some of them came in from Jamaica and some of them came in from Africa. And in this day, we saw that even among these so-called normally trained Americans that were Negroes and they went to our churches and they held their churches of their own, that we had converts. But I want to tell you, so the witch doctor set himself up again. Why, in New Jersey, I was a boy when child after child disappeared. And they couldn't compute what had happened to these children, and they were disappearing. Now, after about 15 disappearances of children, the whole state was up in arms, but they didn't have one trace of this until a couple of state troopers on their motorcycles stopped outside of a big swamp up on the highway that leads to Nyack. And so as they stopped because to take a smoke, they listened as out in the jungle or in the swamp that was out in the woodland, they heard the beat of the tom-tom drum. The beat of the tom-tom drum. They said, what are you folks going out there? Somebody having some kind of a party or a dance? And they said, no, can't figure out at this time of night what that would be. And so then they parked their motorcycles and they walked in on the paths through the swamp and they looked across at an island and they saw a white child tied to a tree while hundreds of Negroes were dancing around while a witch doctor with all the apparatus that goes on in the native jungle was out around that tree with that white child there. And the Negroes were in clothes. The Negroes were Negroes that could pass in the street. They were Methodist Negroes and Baptist Negroes and Catholic Negroes. But the witch doctor had come from Jamaica and the witch doctor had sounded his call. And the witch doctor was Moscow trained. And so the policemen were unable to get across, and they quickly returned to their motorcycles, and they were able to raise a posse, and they moved in, and they arrived too late to save the life of the child, but they apprehended a lot of them, and they were going to try them, and of course they changed the venue because they didn't want people to know about it. They tried to hush it up because the Negroes, they thought were civilized, had gone Mau-Mau. They had gone with acting the witch doctor. They had followed the scheming operation of the witch doctor. Let me assure you that this is a long pattern of history of the last 25 to 30 years of operation, and it still is functioning. That many of them have been trained in Africa. In fact, and trained in Moscow schools as well as they've been trained in the Soviet Union. Women witch doctors that are driving Cadillacs and Rolls Royces and dressed with the finest fashions as the Negro who likes to put on this are actually witch doctoresses and witches. And there are witch doctors that are moving around in fine suits of clothes, but they're gathering the Negroes of America tonight to do service as their King Apollyon calls them to back the Red Revolution. I want you to know that Carmichael is a Red, and I want you to know he's a menace. And this man is a stoop to the witch doctor programs that sweep America. And so also the demagogues of Negro leadership that have brought our nation to the threshold of race war. In fact, as we see the hordes of Negroes rise to loot and to riot, and they rise, of course, to attack and to maim, they move out to bring all the ravages that they can bring upon white civilization, and then tell them that we demand equality, and we demand more than this. We demand the same housing and all the conditions that the white man, by his energy, by his thrift, and by his enterprise, has built for himself. Though they reside in all the houses that you have sold to them, in the houses of the districts you have moved out of, and the houses started to go down the moment they came in. You haven't civilized them, but you have witch-doctorized the Negro. For the witch doctor has come back and is definitely in operation today. And God speaks out and he tells you that the angel from the bottomless pit is in full charge. He's gathering up the people that serve idols of gold and of stone, and he's gathering up the dark Negroes that serve the devil. You know, they even in the hours of Jamaica and in the dark areas, when a Negro dies, they sometimes activate his body and work him as the walking dead. And they refer to him also as a zombie, which is the same word that was used for them in the antiquities of the past, the zombie, the walking dead. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us the dead, when they die, they know nothing at all. But you turn over here in the book of Ecclesiastes, and they said the living, however, when they die, their spirit returns to God who gave it. The living are God's house of Israel. They're the children of the Spirit. But you must wake up to realize that you today are being invaded by a whole process of witchcraft and witch doctrine that are moving against you, and they've moved out of the areas of Negro citadels, but they have been mastered by the hordes of Jewry, and they function by the processes of the Communist Revolution. As today we see the Communist Revolution is Jewish, so also is Negro race war Jewish at this time. And you discover that the Jews are somewhat disturbed when their tenement houses are burned down, or when their liquor stores are burned down, but the Jews are trying to, from the top, keep all the other Jews back in place, and they're saying, now, we can afford this, we can go along with this, just so they strike at the whites, even though we lose some of this. Remember, we've supplied the leadership, we provide the finance, we supply the attorneys, and each and every one of these Negroes gets in trouble. The Negro attorney is only aided by Jewish attorneys to come in and fight the cases for him. We tell you that you are in the hour of race war. It was this very week that the first part of this week you had race war break out in San Francisco. Race war with firing of guns and with the throwing of Molotov cocktails and with Negroes in violence in Fillmore Park and in Hunter Park in the Fillmore District in San Francisco. You find that the chief of police there said that if you put the shotguns in their hands, you shoot to kill. You replied that the National Guardsman said, if you have to go out and shoot at these fellows, they shoot at you, you shoot to kill. Of course, the mayor of San Francisco and the governor of our state are sad sacks. They came out to say, we've walked through the districts, and the reason why they rioted was because it was such a tremendous hot day and they don't have anything to do. And of course, this is an excuse for rioting. But if a white man were to start a riot because it was a hot day or because he didn't have anything else to do, you'd put him in a nut house or you'd put him in jail. And so, as they come out, they say, well, these people don't have sufficient employment. Why, the Negroes are complaining they can't earn enough money to buy homes and houses and live like white men can. Well, they don't want to work like white men do, and they don't want to do the jobs white men do, and they can't make the contribution because they don't have the ability. But at the same time, we want to point out to you that the homes they resided in Fillmore Park or in Hunting Park or out in Hunter's Point were ghettos. They became ghettos by their living in them because they were adequate for all of the white employees of these industries after the war and during the war. In the significance of this, again, as we suddenly find excuses for these witchcraft stirred up Negroes, we will then be laying the foundation for tomorrow's race war, because they will always escape on the pattern of excuse. While you cry to Washington, give us more money for poverty, more money to allay and hold them back. They'll destroy, they'll burn, our whole city's going up in smoke unless we have enough money for them. Well, we'll take the governor, too. If he thinks that jobs is the solution, it isn't jobs that's the solution, it's law that is the solution, for the law shall go out of Zion. So we want you to realize tonight that you are a white Christian. And the Christianity is your faith and your religion. And thus saith the Lord is one of the most important structures of this content of this book. As I said this afternoon, over 3,000 places in this scripture, it's thus saith the Lord. From the rise and the placing of your people in the earth, to their fall, to their redemption, to their rise as his kingdom, and as his battle axe and his weapons of war, he said, you shall destroy the powers of darkness, and you shall wage war successfully against the host of Lucifer. And we're going to bring Lucifer down with the aid of Christ. But do not think that Beelzebub is not coming forth out of the bottomless pit.
We might just say quickly, and we don't have too much time for this, but we want to tell you this, that the strange power area of you letting into this country, these sons and daughters of Lucifer as professors, have placed in your colleges a lot of Jewish professors teaching sociology, teaching areas of political science, and they are making mugwumps and they are making communists out of your youth. More than this, as the youth turn to fall for this strange, peculiar cycle of witchcraft and of hypnotism, they start to move out in the fantastic dress, they start to cut their hair like the native, and when you get through, you can discover that they are zombie-like children today, which are the children of white homes and of white schools in this country that have been subject to the evil teachings of these who are preferring witchcraft on your high school students and on your college students. I tell you that when we see these white children, we look upon them with disgust, and those who represent the status of white Christian society are abhorring them, and they turn in their areas to strange policies and to sexual perversions and to everything else. I tell you that these children need to be pitied, because you and your society are responsible that we let devils come in to teach them. The hour is soon going to come when the tares are going to be gathered out. And the nation is going to know one of its great respites is there will not remain a Jew in any Christian nation of God's kingdom. But I want you to realize tonight that under the direct command of Beelzebub, Lucifer and Buddha, witchcraft is being practiced from one end of Red China to the other end of Dark Africa. And always the blood of the white man upon the altar of his personal sacrifice and his destruction is the thing they call for. I tell you that you can waste your time trying to evangelize them now until you have put down the powers of darkness and conquered the forces of evil. And then remember, you who are the children of an endless life, the children of Israel and of the Most High God, have been called to stand, and your politicians that are no politicians that want to appease should be quickly removed, and men of stature should be given their place. We want to say this just before we close. Treaty against racial, called the United Nations Treaty against Racial Discrimination, has been signed by the biggest traitor from America of all, Ambassador Goldberg. It now needs the ratification of the United States Senate to place your nation totally and completely in the control of the pagan world. It means that as many people as want to flood this country can come. It means that after they arrive here, you can't stop them from voting. Why, if they were to get this thing ratified in time, they could bring 30 million people into California if they wanted to, and they could all vote for Mr. Brown. They think that's funny, but that's true, you know. In fact, the policies of administration still stand for the thing that would make you destroy you, that would mongrelize your race, integrate your schools. The federal aid to education is $335 million, Mr. Brown tells us. He hollers about Mr. Reagan. He says, well, I just think he'll put a terrific tax burden on you. He says that he thinks the federal government ought to keep all of its money out of our state for education. He says, this means $335 million. Well, my friends, we can do without the $335 million if it means teaching of truth against the policies of error. In fact, by the way, the grafters run the marble hall sanctuaries of education. We would only lose some of the marble, but none of the paint, if we return back to education as we had it and as we produced adequate education before. Well, anyhow, it's time that you notify your senators and you tell them that you don't want them to pass the United Nations bill on racial discrimination, or they would even have a job in the United States Senate when they get through voting against them and the pagans march in, because they want to destroy our civilization. They want to destroy the provinces of America. They want to turn America into provinces under the United Nations. And under this program, they want to mongrelize and integrate us into a mongrelized mixture of people. And they cite this even in their aid to education program, as Mr. Howe cites that one of the things that the $175 million is boosted up to $375 million for, so we can truck white people into Negro school and Negro people into white schools, even though we carry them into districts where it's not safe for them to walk, where it's not safe for adults to be, where even the police are not safe. But still, we're going to start this thing, because mongrelization is what the federal design of education is outlined to produce. And as evil as the Christian church is today, for we tell you the disciples of Christ, the Christian church, voted this week in Dallas to totally oppose any law against racial intermarriage and racial intermingling, and to condone in their entire church that the highest area of their spiritual attainment can be made by their marrying into other races and bringing back one race together, since they said one race came out of Noah and his three sons, and one race is what God wants us to get back to. They don't know that the flood was only in one place, that Noah's three sons were white men, and that by no stretch of the imagination was one a Chinaman or a Negro, or did God curse them or do anything as they signed did to change their color. for these sons of Noah were white, and the peoples of other races were all over on the face of the earth. But I want you to realize that this church, with its back against the Word of God, now turns out to call on its people to intermarry, and 1,900,000 disciples of Christ have turned to apostasy this week, and it's time for Christians to get out of it and withdraw their name from the memberships in that church and join Christian churches. As we move into these things, then let us remember that it is the voice of witchcraft. And they have their ministers in the pulpit as well, who deny even the deity of Christ and the messiahship of this embodiment of God. So these are the things that we stand out against, for as we lift up his name, we are also getting ready to fight the battles of our God. We're going to speak next Sunday afternoon on this subject, the everlasting people. You come out as we discuss this subject of the everlasting people. We have passages of the Scripture to establish it, and we're going to talk on the everlasting people next Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Next Sunday evening, the battle axe of Yahweh. This is our subject, and we're going to prove that the Most High God is using and will prepare a battle axe in the earth, that he has one among men, nations, and people. And so our subject next Sunday evening is the battle axe of Yahweh. We urge you with your tithes and offerings that you help us in taking up this offering to carry forward the responsibilities of the Tate Ministry. The last 2 months we've had from all over the eastern part of the United States especially a great cutback on money. People are giving what they can. They say maybe we can give more after Christmas, but the money has fallen off. We don't have it. We don't have enough hardly eat on and so forth. People are on tape, and people that are putting out in the past four tapes. And so we urge you to hold up our hands. So with your sacrifice, we realize that you have in your stewardship been very, very kind as a people, and you have given your devotion to the Most High God. You have held up with your tithes and your offerings. You were putting out literally thousands of dollars in the Tate program. Every week you put out more money than any congregation in this city is putting out to reach people, and you're doing a great work. You're reaching people in every continent where the white man exists. You are sending out this gospel of the kingdom to wake men up, and this is the time when God will awaken men out of their sleep. We urge you with your tithes and your offerings to hold up our hands in this missionary endeavor of the tape, as well as the auditorium expenses and staff and so forth, which is necessary to the kingdom of the Most High. So as we take your offering, we pray that God will guide you in your giving. Almighty and eternal Father, we thank thee because you have been with us as an abiding presence. You have been with us as our eternal Father. We ask thy blessing to rest upon this offering. Bless and multiply this offering to carry forward the gospel of thy kingdom, the work of thy church. Supply the need of this thy people, and we'll give thee the thanks. Amen.